My name's Bo Hague, and I get to pastor in our amazing church, and again, just happy that you're here today. Well, when it comes to the ranching industry or the ranching community, there is a gesture that is practiced all across the ranching industry, and it is the gesture or the practice of neighboring. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, on ranches, if you live near, let's say, another ranch, or you know another family that has a ranch, typically every spring or every fall, you kind of want to save some money, right? You're paying for other things that you obviously need paid for. So one of the practices that happens on ranches all across the world is neighboring. And you say, well, what is neighboring? Well, it's where, let's say, another crew from another ranch, maybe across the, you know, the road or whatever, or maybe even a few miles away, they will come over to your ranch and help you work your calves, gather your calves, you know, wean in the fall, whatever it is. And then you, because they came over and helped you, you will go over and help them. It's called neighboring. And you say, why do they do that? Well, obviously, it's an act of kindness. I mean, you're just helping them out. I don't have to, my neighbors come and help me gather cattle, I don't actually have to pay them, because I'm going to actually return the favor by going to their ranch and helping them out as well. And, you know, like any other rancher, you've got a thousand things to do. But when you do that for your neighbor, guess what? Again, it shows an act of kindness, it saves them money, it's helpful, but it also shows that you just love your neighbors. And so here's the thing. I believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to show His love by being a good neighbor to those around us. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, we serve each other. We help each other. We do show acts of kindness. We do love each other. And we do that because in doing that, we are showing the love of Christ. So here's the thing. Today, I want to start a new series called Neighboring. Neighboring. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Here's what I believe. I believe that by living out the command to love our neighbor, guess what? We can see lives changed. We can see lives changed individually, but we can also see our community change by loving our neighbor. And in whatever way God wants to do it, I believe that if we will love our neighbor, that we can change the world. We can change the world. Does anybody agree with that? I believe that it's true. And so I it's my prayer, and I believe it's the heart of this church, Thousand Hills, to be a good neighbor for the glory of God. And you say, well, why do we want to do this? And where in the Bible does it show us that we should do this? Well, there's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 10, and Jesus gives us an example of what neighboring is and how important it is to Him. And so I want you to follow along. You can read the underlined words as they come, but follow along in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37 as I read it. It says this, "And one day an expert of religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking Him this question, 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus replied, 'What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?' The man answered, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself.' 'Love your neighbor as yourself.' 'Right,' Jesus told him. 'Do this and you will live.' Then the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' So Jesus replied with this story. He says, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. And by chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion on him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I will pay the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked, and the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Awesome story. How many of you guys have ever heard this story, the Good Samaritan? Yeah, some people are like, man, you know, I ought to be a Good Samaritan. They don't know Jesus, but that phrase, being a Good Samaritan, comes from the Word of God, from this story. And so in this passage, listen, you have this religious expert coming to Jesus and trying to test him, right? He's like, so how do I get to heaven? And like every good teacher, and you probably had a good teacher, when you ask a question, how do they answer it? A good teacher, how do they answer it? They answer it with a question. I hate it, but I do it all the time too. My kids will ask me a question and I'm like, I don't know, what do you think? And then they have to actually think about the answer instead of me just pouring the answer to them, right? Well, that's what Jesus did. Jesus, he was asked the question by that expert, what must I do to go to heaven? And Jesus said, hey, you tell me. You tell me the answer. To which that expert quotes the greatest commandments ever written in Scripture and gets the answer right. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he got the answer right. But then the expert says, you know what? I want to test whether my actions are really true. So I'm going to ask him another question. And so he asks him, who's my neighbor? Right? I mean, if I'm supposed to love my neighbor, who is my neighbor? So Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan and shows the expert and is showing us today what it means to truly love our neighbor. And so today, again, I want to start a series. It's a series that I believe that God can use to change the world around us. And so to serve our neighbor, we must answer the same question that the expert asked when he asked, who is my neighbor? So number one is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Neighboring is more about the how than the who. Neighboring is more about the how than the who. Now, some of you guys are thinking when I say the who, you're thinking the band. Again, some of you guys, I don't know. I couldn't recall a song from the who, but some of you guys can. And some of you guys are like, they're a band? Yeah, there's a band called The Who. But anyways, I was chasing a little rabbit there. But neighboring is more about the how than the who. Now, here's the thing. It's obvious to us, and hopefully it's obvious to you, that God wants us to love our families, right? He wants us to love those that love us. He wants us to love those that treat us right. He wants us to love our boss or, the friends that we have. That's obvious. We are to love them because they love us. But what Jesus shows us in this passage of Scripture is the who is actually not just those who love us, but actually our enemy. And actually the who is everyone in the world. Did you catch it? I mean, and I'll give you a backstory on the Samaritan and the Jews. Samaritans, they were a mixed race, right? They were a mixed race. The Jews actually hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. But when asked, who is my neighbor? Jesus shows us that even our enemies are our neighbors. Even our enemies. And so you may be thinking, well, you know, you mean I have to love those kids like, you know, that have all those piercings? The answer is yes. Can you nod your head yes? I mean, again, you mean I have to love all those kids that have all those tattoos? The answer is yes. You mean I have to love those people that don't take showers? Yes. You mean I have to love the poor? Yes. You mean I have to love the rich? Yes. You mean I have to love Mexicans? Yes. You mean I have to love the blacks? Yes. Because everybody is our neighbor. I mean, you think, well, I got to love my good neighbors. I mean, they're nice to me. Well, you're supposed to love your bad neighbors as well. How many of you guys got a bad neighbor? Yeah. How come the hands go up a lot easier when I ask that question? Right? I mean, you got good neighbors, you got bad neighbors, and you say, you know, why? Well, God has given us the greatest commandment, and that's to love him and to love our neighbor. Look at James chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you what? Favor some people over others." Anybody need to hear this? Here's the point. The who is settled. The who is everybody that we are surrounded around. I mean, everybody that surrounds us. That is the who. That said, I would argue, like the point says, that the how is more important than the who. And you say, okay, but how am I supposed to love my neighbor? Well, look at Luke chapter 10, verse 27 again. It says this. It says, "The man answered, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor,'" what? "As yourself." We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so point number two is this. Neighboring means we love others as we love ourselves. You said, well, how am I supposed to love them? Well, love them as you love yourself. Last time I checked, I took care of myself better than anybody else on the face of the earth. Anybody with me? I mean, I take showers, I feed myself, I drink good water. I mean, I do all these things. I don't work out. I almost said I work out, but I don't. That would have been a lie from the preacher. But I do, you know, I work outside. Hey, I work outside. You know, I used to work out, and then, you know, my wife, she runs marathons, and so I just can't keep up, right? Even though the view's really great from behind as I'm running with her, I just can't keep up. So I don't run as much as I should. She's biking now, and so she did a duathlon the other day. And, you know, anyways, I kind of felt like I wanted to maybe try that, but it was fleeting and it's gone now. But so I take care of myself. I try to eat healthy. I do what's best for myself. And you say, well, so how are we supposed to love our neighbor? Well, the Bible says that we are supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so to neighbor others, we must show them the same love as we show ourselves. And you say, okay, what's that look like? Well, I'll give you some practical ways. You know, we have to take time to actually see people. This is something you may not think about, but I think that a lot of times we get so busy that we don't see our neighbor. Anybody with me? I mean, we're going so, you know, fast that we just don't see our neighbor. I mean, we walk by people just like that Samaritan, you know, or that Jew that was in the ditch, and we don't even see them. I mean, I admire the people for at least seeing them. I mean, nowadays, we're so busy that we just drive by, or we just walk by, or we just, you know, see somebody that may be in need, and we just keep going. Amen? I mean, that's what we do. It's sad, but that's what we do. And so I would say, you say, well, how do I love them as myself? Well, you got to see people. Then I would say, you know, another practical way that you can love them as you love yourself, you pray for yourself, right? I mean, I hope you do. I hope that you ask God, give me wisdom, you know, protect our, you know, family, use our family, bless our family. Well, another way that you say, how do I love them as myself? You can pray for them. As you walk by people that maybe you don't even know, when you're in Walmart or Atwoods or wherever you go, walk by people and just pray for them. It's fun. I mean, again, you know, it's a blessing for them, and it's a blessing for you. You know, maybe the guy at the, you know, counter that's checking you out that looks like somebody just punched him in the face because he's just so upset and he doesn't, you know, he's not happy. Maybe you just sit there and you just stare at him for a little bit and just pray for him. You know what I'm saying? Make it awkward. That's cool. I mean, it's fun, you know, and just have fun with it and actually pray for that person. Here's what I found. When I begin to do that and I pray for those people I don't even know, guess what? They notice me for some reason. And maybe because I'm weird, but they notice me, and all of a sudden they kind of open up without them even knowing that I was praying for them, and then I'm able to minister to them just because I prayed for them. Maybe you need to do that. You say, how do I love them as I love myself? You pray for yourself, you pray for them. Maybe you serve them. Again, you see a need and you meet it. I mean, we always use the thing, well, if someone's stranded on the side of the road, then you stop and help them. Again, you need to be wise in that. Our world's not the same as it used to be. If you have a concealed license, I would encourage you to carry your gun if you do that. Amen. But I'm just saying, if you see a need, meet it. I mean, I walk through, maybe this is just a pet peeve that I have. I walk through a lot of places And I learned a lesson a long time ago, and this is kind of a side note, but I learned a lesson a long time ago. I worked at a camp for a summer, and one of the greatest lessons I learned is if you see a piece of trash, pick it up. I have an OCD when it comes to that. Any trash that I walk by, I pick it up. And I, you know, again, if I'm at the Ace Hardware, I pick up their trash. I pick up the popcorn. I pick up whatever it is. And people are like, hey, can I hire you? And I'm like, no, I don't, I already have a job. But, you know, I just pick it up. And you say, well, that's a silly need. No, it's a great need. I mean, a lot of people appreciate that. When you walk into a business and there's trash everywhere because it blew across the road, you pick it up and you show them love. You say, oh, that's a little thing. A lot of times God will take a little thing and he'll open it up into a big thing. I mean, again, you don't just hand out Bibles. We actually serve people, right? We do things that, again, that'll meet their need. Philippians 2:4 says, don't look at, you know, out for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Maybe you take time. Here's another way you can show people that you love them. You take time to rejoice with them and to mourn with them. You say, how do I love those people? Again, you may be sitting in a hospital and your daughter is getting her tonsils taken out and there's some family over there. You know, again, they're hurting a lot worse than you are and something's happening in their life. And you take time to just go put your arm around them. Maybe you don't even know them. It doesn't matter. People accept love no matter where it comes from. I'm just telling you, it works. I've done it. So maybe you just need to put your arm around them and just pray for them, mourn with them. Maybe you shed a tear for them. Maybe you're happy for people. Again, something happens in someone's life on Facebook. Post something. Don't be the guy that, you know, wants everybody to post all the happy thoughts when you have a birthday and then don't rejoice with them on their birthday. Are you with me? I mean, rejoice with them. Say that you're praying for them. Maybe put a prayer in the Facebook post saying, Lord, bless this child that this little couple just had. God bless you guys. Again, people, they love that. That's how you show them love. That's what opens doors. Maybe you give to people. I'll go back. Romans 12:15, it says, be what? Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Again, the next one would be give to people. I mean, just give to them. Look at 1 John 3:17. It says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows them no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Again, here's the sad truth. I think that we have become so numb because of all the crap that happens in our world that we forget to just be nice to people. Anybody with me? I mean, we're so hardened because everybody's a crook or we think everybody's a weasel and they just want, you know, to take advantage of us or, you know, nobody's, you know, thankful nowadays. No one's going to, you know, be, you know, thankful for what we do for them. But at the end of the day, I am going to win in the eyes of the Lord when I give and not worry how they use what I give them. Are you with me? I mean, I'm just telling you. When you give to that panhandler that's on the side of the road and you think, well, he's a little jerk. I mean, he needs to get up. He's got two arms, two legs. He needs to get to work. Okay, that is true. But listen, when I give to that person, I can sit there and think, well, he's just going to buy drugs or alcohol or whatever he's going to buy. But that's not on me. My job is to give to them. If I see them in need, I'm going to give to them. Not every time. I mean, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to know when not to do that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be blessed. They're going to be blessed when I give. And so simply put, neighbor them as you would want them to neighbor you. So neighboring is more about the how than the who. Neighboring means that we love others as we love ourselves. And number three is this. Neighboring should be done in Jesus' name. I want to show you this. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, I want you to watch this video. And out of this video, you're going to get an idea of what it looks like to love in Jesus' name.
I took the family to Chipotle last month. And we go walk in, and I mean, there's already a line. There are other people who are waiting to experience this, and we wait after this long line. We get right up to the counter, we're about to order. And it's kind of like high pressure, high tension when you got the four kids and the wife, and we're all standing there, and you know, you're getting ready, you got your order worked out in your mind, and this guy cuts in line. He gets right in front of me, and then he turns around, and he says, hey man, he says, the starter's out on my car. Will you buy me a bus ticket to Atlanta? I'm like, man, I'm sorry. I don't have a bus ticket to Atlanta. I don't have cash for that on me. And he said, will you buy me a burrito? And I'm like, man, you're good. I mean, I see what you did. You went high and then you went low. I mean, you did. And then you got me in this moment, this high pressure, we're waiting to order. And then my kids are all watching me to see what I'm going to do. You're good. You are good. And so, my kids are watching. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'll buy you a burrito. And so he ends up, all the kids start getting through and I make sure they get through. And then he tells me his name is Reed. And then Reed begins to order and he said he wants a burrito bowl. And Reed starts to get a burrito bowl. And then he tells the lady when they get, she's like, what meat do you want? He said, I want pinto beans, I want black beans, and I want steak. He said, and I'll take double steak. I'm like, man, come on. I don't even let my wife get double steak. I mean, except on her birthday. On her birthday, she can have double steak. He's like, double steak? I'm like, all right, bro. We keep going. He's like, I want some cheese on there and some sour cream and some salsa. You know what I'm watching for. You Chipotle people, you know what I'm watching next. I'm like, what's he going to do? Is he going to get the guac? And sure enough, he said, give me the guacamole. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, they tell us that beggars can't be choosers, but nobody told Reed. I mean, Reed is, he's choosing everything. And we get to the end, he's like, I want chips, I want a Coke. And at this point, I'm ticked. And we get through, I pay for my whole family. It's probably $12 more with everything Reed got. And he gets his Coke and he turns. And, when we were standing there and we're waiting for my family, we were standing there when my family was ordering. I said, Reed, I said, I'm just doing this because I'm a follower of Jesus. I said, I'm just doing it in his name. And then Reed, when he finished up, he said, thank you. And so he walks off. And at this point, I'm just kind of ticked. I sit down with the family and I start to pout. It's a spiritual gift. It really is. The whole family, they're enjoying their burritos, but I'm feeling like I got scammed. I got taken advantage of, so I'm starting to pout a little bit. And then one of the kids did something which really wasn't a big deal, but then I let them have it because it wasn't what they did. It was because I'm mad at Reed, and I felt like I got taken advantage of. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. All right? It's confession. And so we get to the house, and I'm still kind of in a bad mood that night. And wake up the next morning, I'm sitting down to spend some time with the Lord, and just kind of processing the day before, and start thinking about that. I wasn't real proud of how I handled the whole deal, and so I said, God, what was that? I just sense like what God said to me was, Kevin, you didn't get scammed. You didn't get scammed. Reed didn't scam you. You scammed Reed. Because you said you did it in Jesus' name. That wasn't in Jesus' name. See, Jesus' name means with his signature. It means with his presence. It means with his love. And you didn't do that in Jesus' name. And then I started to imagine, what would it have been like if I would have done it in Jesus' name? Hey, Reed, come here. That steak is good. Get you double steak. And Reed, get all that. We got some sour cream. We got some cheese. And Reed, why don't you get the guacamole? I know it's extra, Reed. Don't worry about it. Get some guacamole. Get double guacamole, Reed. And Reed, get chips and a Coke. And Reed, why don't you come sit down with our family and have dinner with us? Because we'd love to hear your story. What would it have been like if I would have done it in Jesus' name?
Wow, what a story. You say, what does it look like to love our neighbor in Jesus' name? Well, that is a true picture of what it looks like. And you say, what did he describe there when he talked about the way he should have done it in Jesus' name? I believe that he's describing that we should love people extravagantly. Extravagantly. You say, well, I don't know about that. I mean, you say, well, what's extravagantly mean? Well, again, it means that we go beyond what is even deserved. We exceed the bounds of maybe even our own reason. This doesn't make sense to do this because this guy is taking advantage of this family, but I'm going to do it anyways. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means that you're actually loving him in Jesus' name. And you say, well, I don't know if that's right. I mean, should we really, show extravagant love to everybody or to, other people? Well, I want you to hear a story of Jesus and how Jesus responds to someone actually showing him extravagant love. Listen to this story in John chapter 12. It says this. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethlehem, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of what? Expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her what? With her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. But what did Jesus do? Jesus replied what? "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Do you see what happened there? I mean, here you are. You have Jesus coming to this house, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. And because Mary loved Jesus so much, she poured a 12-ounce bottle of expensive perfume on his feet. I mean, it wasn't like she went, "Hey, Jesus, come here. You know, let me pour that on you, you know, a little up here, a little behind the ear, you know, all that stuff." No, she poured it on his feet. I mean, she showed an extravagant gesture to Jesus. And she didn't go just halfway and just pour a little, say, "Hey, Jesus, hold your hand out. I'm going to pour a little of this, you know, perfume in your hand." No, she poured the whole bottle on his feet. She didn't just grab, after that, she didn't just grab a paper towel and go, "Hey, let me wipe that up. Let me wipe that off." No, what did she do? She undid her hair and she wiped his feet with her hair. You say, what does that all mean? Well, she gave Jesus her best. Extravagantly. And what did Jesus say, or what did he do? He said, "Leave her alone. She is showing me the love that she has for me," and he accepted it. Here's the point. I believe that Jesus expects us to show others the same love. Show them the same love. I mean, all you got to do is look back at the Samaritan, you know, that took care of the Jew that was beat up by bandits. Look at it again. It says, "Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion on him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him." He took care of him in the inn. And the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. And if his bill runs higher than this," in other words, he gets into the cooler and grabs a Coke and, you know, grabs a, you know, cold Snickers. Anybody with me? Coke and Snickers. Come on. "If he does that, if his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay for it the next time that I'm here." You know what I call that? Extravagant love. He exceeded, he went beyond what was reasonable, right? And you may be thinking, well, why, you know, why? Why love my neighbor extravagantly? Why pour onto them things that they don't deserve? Why go beyond what is expected? I'll give you a couple reasons and I'm done. You ready? When we show others extravagant love, we show Christ extravagant love. Matthew 25:40, the king replied, "Truly I tell you, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." You know who's talking there? Jesus. You say, what's the point? Well, by loving our neighbor as ourselves, we are showing God and the world that we love Jesus. When we feed others, guess what? We are loving Jesus. When we clothe other people, guess what? We are loving Jesus. When we laugh with others, guess what? We're loving Jesus. When we mourn with others, guess what we're doing? We're loving Jesus. When we give our money generously to other people, guess what we're doing? We're loving Jesus. So listen, love our neighbor. Loving our neighbor is proof that we love Jesus. The second reason I would say is because you say, well, you know, why should I love my neighbor extravagantly? Well, here's why. Because that's how God loves us. You say, I don't know about that. I don't know if God loves me that much. I mean, I don't know. How did he show his extravagant love? Well, he gave his one only son to die on a cross for you. I would say that's excessive. That's extravagant. You say, well, how, I mean, how else? Well, Jesus died before we actually loved him. I would say that's beyond reasonable love. You say, well, how else? I mean, why, you know, why should we, you know, love our neighbor extravagantly? And how does God show his love for us? Well, he forgives us of our every sin that we've ever committed. I don't know about you, but that's amazing love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he what? He loved us first. And so here's the thing. We are called to love our neighbor as ourself, and we are called to do it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And you say, well, Bo, what does that look like? How am I supposed to do that? Can I just give you an answer? I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like for you. I don't know what it's going to look like when you walk out this door and someone has a need and you try to meet it. But here's what I would encourage you to do. Make the commitment to do whatever it is that God calls you to do before that happens. Make the commitment. Say, God, give me the opportunity to show my neighbor extravagant love. And then guess what? Follow through when it comes. Because it's coming. It's coming. Again, I don't know what that's going to look like for you. I don't know what it's going to look like for me. But at the end of the day, if we are ready and we are open to God using us to love our neighbor, again, he will give us that opportunity. He'll give us that opportunity. 1 Peter 1:22 says, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love or love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with what? All your heart. All your heart. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Again, some of you are here today and you struggle with what I probably struggle with or deal with in my own life, and that's called selfishness. It's like, you know, I got all this, you know, I got some money, I got some things, all that stuff, but when somebody comes and they're actually in need, you know, I'm kind of stingy. When someone's succeeding in life, you know, I'm kind of stingy with my love. I don't rejoice with them like I should. I just kind of, you know, again, just shrug it off and say, well, whatever. When I see somebody in need, I usually try to figure out, you know, what's wrong with them and why aren't they working? Or what's wrong with them? Why did they make a stupid decision and now they're in the hole? Again, I deal with this. But here's the thing. If you want to be obedient, if I want to be obedient to what God has called us to do, and again, it's the greatest commandment. It's not just something he suggested if we have time. No, it's the greatest commandment to love him and to love our neighbor. And so maybe some of you, you need to change your heart today. You need to allow God to change your heart. And you need to say, okay, Lord, maybe this is your commitment today. Lord, help me to see my neighbor's need. Help me to see it. Again, help me to slow down. Help me to be ready. Prepare me to see my neighbor's need. And Lord, when I see their need, help me to love them and show them love over and beyond maybe what they deserve or what they would even expect. Again, maybe that needs to be your prayer today. You say, I don't have money. Well, you don't need money to bless people. You don't need money to show people love as you love yourself. You say, I don't have much stuff. Well, you don't need stuff. Again, maybe it's just an act. Maybe it's just a, you know, a word. Maybe it's just, you know, just helping them shovel dirt. I don't know what it is, but loving your neighbor as yourself is a commandment and a truth that God wants us to live by. And here's the thing. If you do it begrudgingly, then you're doing it the wrong way. If you do it because, well, the preacher made me feel guilty today, so I'm going to go out and try to help somebody. Listen, you're discrediting the name of Jesus, and you're not going to receive the blessing that Jesus promises. We are called to do it in Jesus' name. And a lot of times that's extravagantly. That's without reason. And that's with a cheerful heart. And so here's the thing. At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, guess what? We value generosity. We value tending to the herd. We value loving Jesus, and we ride for His brand. And so here's the thing. If you're going to do it, again, God says, I want you to love your neighbor. And so my challenge to you is this. Love them as yourself. Love them as you love yourself. Show them the love of Jesus by how you serve them. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You've never accepted Him into your life. Listen, He loves you so much. He wants a personal relationship with you. You say, I've never done anything for Jesus. Why would He love me? Listen, that's the great thing about Him. You don't have to do anything for Him to love you. His love is there before you love Him. He proved it when He went to the cross and He died for you. He gave you a way so that you could have eternal life in heaven. And so again, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. The Bible says that if you will confess Him as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you can be saved. And so maybe in your chair right there, you just need to make, you know, your prayer a prayer of salvation. You say, what do I say? Well, maybe in your heart, not out loud. You don't have to do it out loud. God hears your thoughts. He hears your prayers. But maybe you pray something like this. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've not loved people like You wanted me to. I know I've not loved You. But today, I want to love You. Today, I want to receive the love that You have for me. Today, I'm asking You to forgive me of my sin, come into my life, and save me. I confess You as my Lord. I believe in You. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. Can I just share with you like I do every week? That's the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life. The greatest decision. Because now you know the Creator of the world. And now He can guide you and show you the love that you deserve so that you can show others that same love. And so we praise God that you made a decision today to follow Him. Here's what we're going to do with our head bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to lead us in a closing word of prayer. Heather's going to come, make some closing comments, show you how you can connect with our church. And we're going to be dismissed. Thank You for being here today. Lord, we just come to You right now and I just thank You for loving me. I thank You for loving us. And Lord, today, as we've learned through Your story that You told to the religious people of the day, we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. So Lord, help us to be a good neighbor. Not only for the good of the person or our own good, but for Your glory and for Your honor. So that Your name can be spread all across the world. And so Lord, help us to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.